We're on Daf Samaches, Amud Aleph, and we're up to Amalei Rabba Bar Rav Hanan Le Abaye. And this is five lines down from the top. Now, just to review what we had here on the bottom of Daf Samach Zayin, Amud Aleph, is we had a case of a baby that needed Mila on the eighth day, and that was Shabbos. And unfortunately, the water that they had prepared before Shabbos, the hot water, spilled. And Rabbah had hot water in his house. And the question is, would he be allowed to carry that water from his house to the house where the baby was, which shared the same chatzah, and they didn't make an eruv? And Abaye didn't understand how it was that Rabbah instructed his family members to carry the water from his house to the other house where the baby was, because there was no Eruv. And Rabbah tried to suggest that we should rely on what's called Shituf Muvos, and we're going according to that Mandi Omer who says that in a fallback position, when there was no Eruv Chatzeros, we could rely on Shituf Muvos. And Abaye says, but they didn't make even a sheet of muvos. So at the end of the day, what Rabbah did was, because he was very impressed by Abaye's arguments, is he wanted to tell a guy that the guy should bring the water, the hot water, to the baby. And that's Amirali Nachri. And we're going to allow violating the shvus of Amirali Nachri for the sake of the mitzvah of Mila. And Abaye was still very insistent, arguing against this. And he says, well, again, initially they didn't let him ask the question, but ultimately when he asked this question, he said the following, that we should compare Amir al-Nakhri to the case of Hazzah. And in the case of Hazzah, we have a sugya mesechta psachim about someone who was tamei. He was a tamei mess. He had come in contact with a dead body, a corpse. And his seventh day was a Shabbos of Erev Pesach. So that the 14th of Nisan fell on a Shabbos. That's called Erev Pesach, Shechalios B'Shabbos. And that's the seventh day since this individual contracted Tumas Mes, which means he needs Hazzah on the seventh day in order to complete his purification process so that he could bring the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan. But we have Halacha Mishum Shvus that you're not allowed to do Hazzah on Shabbos. And they prohibited it. Hazah Eino is a Shvus Rabbanu, but nevertheless Eino Doches HaShabbos. And therefore, says Abaye, by analogy, the same thing should apply to Amir L'Nachri Shvus. It shouldn't be Doches HaShabbos. So just like in the case of Korban Pesach, we're not going to violate the Shvus of Hazah for the sake of the Mitzvah of Korban Pesach, so too, in the case of the Mitzvah of Mila, we're not going to violate the Yisur Shvus of Amir L'Nachri for the sake of the Mitzvah. And the answer to this is that we're going to differentiate between two different categories of shvus. There's something called the shvus de isbe maisa, and then there's something called the shvus de lesbe maisa. So we're going to be more machmir in the case of hazah, because hazah requires an action, so the Jew is doing the maisa hazah, which Rabbanu prohibited midin shvus, whereas in the case of amil and nachri, the Jew is doing nothing. He's just notifying the guy to bring the water. Actually, he's not even telling the guy to cook up the water and to do any malacha. He's only telling the guy that we don't have hot water. Can you help us out over here? So in that case, we're talking about a shvus de lesbe maisa. There's no action. Now, I have a footnote here that I wanted to share with you, because apparently there's a major machlokas here, how to interpret our Gemara, and the distinction between Shvus the Ispe Maisa and Shvus the Lespe Maisa. Now, first of all, the Rif says that Ispe Maisa means that there's some sort of a Malacha D'Oraisa involved. We don't know exactly what he means. And Lespe Maisa is that there's only a violation of a Derabbanan. So the Ritva quotes Rabbi Yona, and he says, no, Ispe Maisa means you make a tikkun inherent in the object. Like, for example, if you were to heat up the water, you change the molecular structure of the water. And Lespe Maisa means that he doesn't change the object. Like, for example, he brings the water that's already hot from one place to the other. He doesn't have to heat it up and change the water. And according to this understanding of Rabbeinu Yona, you could classify the case of the mayim, the hot water that's being brought for the tinok through the chatzer, as a case of lespe maisa. Why? Because you're not asking the guy to heat up the water, and you're not making any physical change in the water. He's only carrying the water and relocating it from one bias to the other. That's called lespe maisa, because there's no tikkun beguf adover. That's Rabbeinu Yonah, and I think that was the last thing we discussed on Yom Chamishi, if I remember correctly. However, what I want to add today is that Rabbeinu Chananel and the Baal Halachas Gedolos don't have the girsa in our Gemara, Domar lo Omar lenochri zil achim. The Bach also doesn't have that girsa. And according to the girsa that takes out those words, zil achim, which again in our Gemara, it appears, it says, Lo Omar Lenochri Zil Achim. Achim means to heat up the water. So that Rabbeinu Yonah had the gears that we have, and therefore he makes a difference between what were you asking the guy to do? Were you asking the guy just to carry the water from one vice to the other? Or were you asking the guy to heat up the water, which is a Doraisa, and it's a Tikkun Aguf? No, leave that all out. And therefore, according to the Girsa, when Rav Yosef rejected Abaye, he told him, Lo shani lecha bein shvus the ispe maisa. And what he meant was that hazah requires a maisa, and that they weren't matir, even for the sake of a mitzvah, as opposed to a shvus the lespe maisa, which is amir lenachri, and the Yisrael doesn't do any maisa at all. It's just a mira. And in such a case where the Yisrael is not doing a maisa, it's just a mira, then they were matir that shvus of amir lenochri for tzorech mitzvah. Now, if the distinction is between hazah, which is called a maisa, as opposed to Amira, in the case of Amira Lenochri, which is not a Maisa, then according to that school of thought, which is headed up, as we said, by Rabbeinu Chananel in the Bahag, you would be allowed, in the case of the Mayim, the hot water for Mila, to tell the guy to heat up the water, because it still is not a Maisa, because the Jew is only making a verbal statement. He didn't do a Maisa. But if we go back to the girsa that we have in our Sfarim of quote unquote Lo Omar Lenochri Zil Achem, that the reason why Rabbah was Mekil with Amir Lenochri for the sake of the Mila is because he didn't tell the guy to heat up the water, he only told the guy to transport the water from one bias to the other. And that's called an Issur Derabbanan. So basically what you have here is a double Derabbanan, otherwise known as a Shvus to Shvus, meaning even to carry the hot water from one bais to the other is itself only a Derabbanan, because again, the Chatzar is a Rishus HaYochid, it's Mukaf Mechitzos, and on top, to boot, you were telling the Nachri to carry the water. That's called Shvus to Shvus. Mashenki, in the case of Hazah, for the Tomei Mes, that's only one Shvus. But if, therefore, you were to tell the Nachri to heat up the water, not just to carry the water, then it's no longer a Shvus to Shvus, because now it's a Shvus Atu heating up the water, which is a Malacha D'oraisa. And if we take the approach of Rabbeinu Yonah, we likewise come to the same conclusion, that the heter here was because there was no tikkun in the goof, there was no heating it up, the water was already hot. So our girsa, with Lo Omar Lenachri Zil Achem, will support the view that would prohibit telling the Nachri to heat up the water on your behalf for the sake of the mitzvah milah. Masha Enkin, in contrast, according to those, Rabbeinu Chananel, the Bahag, and the Bach, who omit this girsa of Zil Chmeim, and it's all a question of Isbe Maisa or Lesbe Maisa, did the Jew do an action or did he not? In the case of Azor, we were Machmir, even Litzorach, the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, because the Jew is doing an active Hazah. But in the case of Amir Lenachri, the Jew is not doing anything active. He's only verbally commanding or requesting from the guy that he do this malacha. It would make no difference whether the guy was being asked to carry from one bais to another in a chatzer, or to heat up the water. That also would be mutter, because at the end of the day, the Jew does nothing, and therefore it's less bay maisa. So that's what I wanted to share with you. And this opens up a very profound sugya about shvus to shvus, b'makom mitzvah, and under what circumstances we can ask a guy or not ask a guy. Like, let's say, for example, electricity. Very often, and this happens in synagogues in the hot summer months, there's a fluke and the air conditioning didn't go on. You want to tell your whatever country they come from, we don't have to get into that, but you want to tell your non-Jew to open up turn on the air conditioning, and that's for the mitzvah that people could daven in the shul, because otherwise they're sweating from the heat. If we assume that electricity is a malacha d'oraisa, like the Chazon Ish, then to tell a guy to do a malacha d'oraisa, even though Amir Lenachri is only a shvus, we cannot be martyred. If, on the other hand, Amir Lenachri is a shvus de lesbe maisa, and b'makom mitzvah they were making on a shvus de lesbe maisa, then it's irrelevant as to whether or not turning on the air conditioning is a d'oraisa or not a d'oraisa. So I'm just giving you one practical nafkemina to this gigantic machlokas here that we touched upon. All right. So now we start the Gemara for today. Omale Rabba Barab Hanan Labai. Mivo'o de ispe tre gavri ravave kirabonon. Lola heavy be lo erivolo shituf. What do we say over here? Rabba and Abaye are partners, are neighbors in two different batim in the same chatzer, and they neither made an Erev chatzeros nor a sheet of muvos? These are Gavri Ravave. These Ravave means these are the great giants of that generation. Is it possible that they were negligent about an Erev? Amalei Sabaye responds to this question of Rabbi Bar Hanan, and he says, "My na'avit, what should we do? Mar, our master, meaning Rabba, who's the Rosh Hashiva at the time, lav urche, it wouldn't be a covet for him to knock on doors and gather together a pas, a loaf of bread, from each one of the Bnei HaChotzer, or the Bnei HaMavu. It's such a tircha for him to go around collecting a pas for the purpose of an heir. Va'ana, and I have to tell you about myself, says Abai, Tridna Begirsai. I am completely dedicated, single-mindedly to my studies, to my Torah studies. And if I would have to collect a pas from everybody in the schatzer, that would cause me a tremendous amount of bittul of limud for a whole day almost. Now, why don't the other members of the chatzer make an eruv? The inu and those guys, lo mashkeche. They're not wise enough, they're not interested, and not going to stand over the whole process and take it to fruition. It's a tircha for them to make an eruv and a shituv. So it basically falls between the cracks. Abai adds another thing. V'i achni lu pito b'sala. Maybe you'll argue, well, why can't I just, without running around, knocking on doors and gathering together a pas from everybody, why don't I just do a hakna, meaning I'm going to take my pas in the basket, that I'm going to make a declaration that I'm being makne this pas to all the Bnei HaChotzer, to all the Bnei HaMavli. And now they have a schus, they're all partners, and the Shituf Mavos is now valid. No. Even though there's no tirch over here, that's not going to be valid. Well, I came into Ibo Luhu Menai Velo Efshar, at lo efshal leisve nehili, since if the Bnei HaChotzer would ask to receive the pas so that they could eat from it, I wouldn't have the ability to give it to them and divvy up the pas to each one of these Bnei HaMavui on Shabbos. Now, you're asking me too much. Is therefore batil shituf, even if I were to make a hakna, and I would have in mind that this pas should now be a joint partnership ownership for all the Bnei HaChotzer, and I'd make an absolute kinyan, nevertheless, that shituf would be batel. And why is that so? Desanya, we have a price that says, Echad mibnei HaMavu shebikesh miyayin v'shemen v'lo nosnu lo batel ha-shituf. If they made a shituf muvos, which was traditionally made with yayin, sometimes also with oil, and one of the Bnei HaMavui decides that he would like to eat or drink from the wine, and the Bnei HaMavui say, we're not going to give it to you. We're not going to allow it. It's then batal shituf. The whole deal is gone. Because it means that they never really had kavana to be machne it, b'lev sholem, for all of them. And therefore Abai knows very well that, he needs the pas. He's not going to be able to give up of his pas on a regular basis, every Shabbos, for the Bnei HaMavui. And even if he would go ahead and make a formal kinyan and say, I hereby am makne it to the entire Bnei HaChotzer, it would not be a serious or a valid shituf muvos, because it's like this case where one of the Bnei HaMavui says, hey, give me some of the wine here, I also chipped in. And they refuse him. And the whole shituf is gone. It's completely null and void. Because now it became absolutely clear that they didn't have in mind that they really wanted to, they had a full heart, so to speak, and a complete intention of being machne to all the Bnei HaChotzer. They hear too, as Abaye. Everybody's going to come and say, well, Give me part of the pas. I want a quarter of the loaf of bread. That's my loaf of bread. And even though, again, formally I made a declaration that it now belongs to everybody else in the chotzer, but I'm not gonna be willing to give it up. Again, the mafarshim here talk about poverty and this. That was he poor? Was he not poor? Rabbi was the Rosh Yeshiva. He probably got a great salary. It's like working for I don't know what institution. I don't want to mention any names over here because the tape record is going. But these big salaries that you get from these very fancy institutions. So why was Rabbi so poor that he couldn't be mezakeh the eruv on behalf of everyone? And if they would come and demand, a piece of the loaf, a piece of the bread, he would grant it to them. Okay, this is a side point for us right now. So now the Gemara wants to know, wait a second, couldn't they achieve their goal and be very serious about being maknas something for the Bnei HaChotzer if that object didn't have that much value to? V'nikni lumar, in other words, why couldn't our master, in this case he's referring to Abaye, why couldn't he be maknas to Bnei HaMavui revi'aso de chala bechavita? Now we're talking about chometz. Chometz in Aramaic is called chala, not to be confused with bread. And chavita is a barrel. And he's got a barrel of vinegar. Chometz. You know, vinegar is relatively cheap. What happens is that if the wine gets left over and it was open and the barrel, it starts fermenting and it becomes vinegar. A person's not makpid. If the members of the Mavui would come and they would demand, each one of them, a bit of this chometz, of this vinegar, he would certainly give it to him b'leiv shalom. It's not something that's really valuable. And if that be the case, let him fill up a barrel with vinegar, put it out there in the chatzer, and make an erev chatzeros, and a sheet of muvos, and let him leave it out there for the entire year and not have it on his mind. And this barrel is filled up with vinegar in such a way that if people come and start claiming, you know, give me my share of the vinegar, nobody's going to be makpid about that. So that's the question that the Gemara is asking right now. Let me just summarize this, if I can. Give me a second here. Oh, I got the right sefer here. So we're on 68. Give me a second here. He says, Tanya, yeah. He says, let the master transfer ownership of a revius of vinegar into one of the barrels to the other members of the Mavui. A shitiv is generally made of wine. And it's possible to place a barrel of vinegar in the chatzer where the shitav is placed and rely on a revius of it for the whole year. In other words, he owns the barrel of vinegar. He needs one revius worth of vinegar. Let's call it 4 ounces of vinegar. He needs as a shitav muvos. And during the course of the year, he's going to take from this barrel all the vinegar that he needs. And he'll make sure to leave in the barrel one revius of vinegar that he won't touch. And that'll be for the sheet of muvos for the entire year. He gains two things. Number one, there's no effort on his part. You know, once during the entire year, he gets up and he says, I am hereby declaring that this whole revius has... I'm saying this whole barrel of vinegar has one revius in it that belongs to the Bnei Achatz, Bnei Amovli. I'm being mezakeh them in their ownership. And number two, when he gets to the last revius of chometz, of vinegar, it's not really worth that much to him. He can spare that. It won't make a dent in his financial situation. So the Gemara answers... Tanya, ein mishtatfin be'otzar. The sheet of muvos, in the case of an otzar, which is very similar to our case of a chala bechavita, an otzar means a storage house. Like, let's say, for example, he has a storage house with barrels of wine. And during the course of the year, he's going to use the wine, bring it out from each barrel, or some of it from each barrel, for the table, for breakfast, lunch, and supper. And he wants to leave over a certain amount of wine, a revius of yayin, in the barrel, and that'll be designated for the sheet of muvos. But there's only one problem. Which revius of yayin in the barrel is being left over and designated for the sheet of muvos? If he is going to be mistapek, how do you say, if he's going to draw for the table on a regular basis the wine that he needs, there's no way up front, when he made the sheet of muvos, to determine which is that revius wine that is designated and singled out for the sheet of muvos. What we could have said is yesh brera. Now, Steve, you'll know what we're talking about here because you're also learning the third parak. So there's a whole sugya in the third parak about brera, which means that tomorrow I can clarify what happened today, and it goes retroactively. That's called yesh brera. This brisa now that we're studying holds ein brera. You can't say that, you know, for the whole year I'm going to take out the wine that I need from the otsar, and then whatever last revius yayin is left in the end at the bottom of the barrel, that's going to be designated as sheet of muvos. I made the sheet of muvos 365 days ago, and at that point it was not clear. If you hold yesh brera, then the future event, in this case at the end of the year, will clarify and establish the event at the beginning of the year. And then we know now, at the end of the year, which particular revius yayin in the otsar was designated for the sheet of muvos at the beginning of the year. But that's only if you hold yesh brera. So the Gemara says, "Tanya Amar Rav Oshia." I'm sorry. Where am I up to here? Tanya ein mishtatfim bi otsar. Tanya mishtatfim bi otsar. That's what I skipped. We have another brisa that says that you can make a sheet of muvos in an otsar. So Rav Oshia lokasha habet shamay v'habet silel. Beis Shammai hold ein mishtatfim bi otsar because they hold ein brera, whereas Beis Hillel hold yesh brera, and therefore they would hold mishtatfim bi otsar. The only thing that we're still stuck with is to try to figure out how it was that they were able to make a sheet of muvos. Now it works out well that they wanted to. Just one second. At the end of the day, we said it's a shvus de les be maisa, and therefore you were allowed to tell a guy. But the question was, why didn't they make a sheet of muvos? And the final answer is like Beit Shammai. Okay, we're still not in the clear yet. In any event, where do we find this machlokas between Beis Hillel Beit Shammai regarding brera, where the Beis Shammai holds ein brera and Beis Hillel holds yesh brera? So for this, we're going to have to learn a mishnah in the seventh parak of Olos. And we have to know that there's something called an iskupa. If you could help me here with the English, I think in English it would be called a threshold, perhaps. Anyway, it's the area that is sort of outside the house, although it is the threshold that leads you into the house when you're coming in from the outside. Now, let's say you have a utensil that's sitting on the iskupa, and someone Nebuch inside the house dies. And the question is whether that utensil contracts tumah. And here we have a principle called sof tumah latzis. I'm going to present it to you in one way, and maybe we'll reformulate it later. And that is that if I know beforehand that the corpse is going to be taken out to burial through that doorway, and therefore in that Pesach you'll have a mess that's mahil on this kli, then the kli on the eskupa is already contracted tumah because sof tumah lotzis, meaning we anticipate that the tumah is going to go out through that doorway. That's how they take the corpse out for burial. And therefore, the kli, which will now be underneath the mess as the mess is brought out, is already tomei, even before they actually took out the mess, because of sof tumah lotzis. Now, if you have a whole bunch of entranceways, a whole bunch of exits in a house, which let's call it chalonos, you know, you have many large windows, and you could theoretically take the corpse out of any one of those large windows, then since we don't know which of the windows he's going to take the mess out of, all the kalim in all of these windows become tummy, because we're going to apply the principle of sof tumah lotzeis based on the possibility that the tumah will go out through that exit. But what happens if later on, and this is going to happen, they eventually take the mess out, and now the mess goes through one particular Pesach, can we now say that the other Pesachim, the other windows and entranceways, were not sof tumah lotzeis? Well, it's a little bit confusing, because from the get-go, we didn't really know. It could be it's sof tumah lotzeis. Now we're big chachamim, we know, and we could say in retrospect that this was not a sof tumah lotzeis. But that's only because we're a chacham today, you know, what we used to call Monday morning quarterbacking. So now you're an ibur chacham. Now you know that the mess went out through this window and not through that window. But initially, when the mess was lying there on the floor and you didn't know where you're going to take it out, each one of these windows was sof tumah lotzeis, at least besafik, it was at least the possibility of sof tumah lotzeis. Desnan, we learned in the Mishnah in Olos, hames bebayis. Now, we have two descriptions of this house. Number one, there's a corpse in the house. And number two, lo, the house has psochim harbe. It has many windows or exits, many doors, and therefore we don't know which one of those doors is eventually going to be the one that the corpse is going to exit, through that door the corpse will exit. So let's assume, and again here I'm quoting the Ramban and maybe Rashi as well, that all these doors are locked, or at least closed. Because the law might change if, let's say, one of the doors is open, because if one of the doors is open, then we can assume they're not going to bother with any of the other doors, any of the other windows, they'll go through this open one. So let's just say they're all equal. Right? How did Abe say, all men were created equal? And all the windows, all the doors are closed, so we have no clue up front to anticipate which window is going to be the one through which we exit. Is kulam tmeim? They're all tmeim. Now, it's really interesting. If you take a look at Rashi, Kulam Tmeim, in the last two lines, Rashi says, V'taima lecha. That's a heavy statement. Translated into English, Rashi's saying there's no logic here at all. Nothing could compel you to draw this conclusion. But rather, Hilchos Tuma, Dehachi Gmirale. This is the way it was taught by Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. And it tells you that even if you have windows which are just one tefach by one tefach, they're pretty small windows, nevertheless they're all tmeim. B'dolomucha milsa b'hai mapikli. We never have, at this point, a proof which one of the windows is going to be the exit for the corpse. However, the Mishnah continues and says, Niftach Echad Mehem. If he opens one of the doors, and we're going to have to see exactly at what moment in time he opened the door, that's going to be Machlokes Beisil Beit Shammai. But in any event, the door was open. Hu Tamei, that entranceway is Tamei, if he has a kli on the threshold of that entranceway. And Kulam Tahori. But the balance, all the other remaining openings, doors that have Caleb in them, they're all Tahori. The mess is not going to go through there because one of the doors was open. And here's where we could emphasize that the implication of the Brisa of this mission is that all the doors were closed. They're all locked. And now he unlocks one of them, he opens the door, and now all the Caleb in the other openings, in the other psachim, are all taught. Now, the Mishnah continues, what happens if he hasn't yet opened any one of the doors, but chishev lo hutzio b'echad mihem? He's already made a decision in his mind that, you know, this door is closer to the cemetery, I don't know what, he's going to take the mess through this door. Oh, b'chalon, or in the case of a window, sheyesh bo arba al arba tfachim, or if the window has four tfachim by four tfachim, and that's the shir of Pesach, is Beit Shammai, yeah, is the first shita, which is that of Beis Hillel, is matzil al kol psachim kulam. It means the following. If one of two things, if you can check one of two boxes in the scenario, then all of the kalim and all the other psachim are tahorim. What are the two possible alternative boxes that you can check? One of them is that he's already made a decision which opening he's going to use. And number two, another alternative way, is if there's one window that has four tefachim by four tefachim, and that's a wide enough opening such that it's a Pesach, less than that would not help you, because that's too small, it's not a Pesach. And he decides that he's going to take this mess through one door or through one window, because that window is a large window, it's a Pesach, it's Arba al Arba. And the Tanakhama here says, Matzil al kol ha-psachim kula. It means that now only that door, which he expects to take the mess through, or that window, which has Arba al Arba tfachim, only that's Tomei, and all the other are tahor. That's called matzil al kol psachim kulam. Because this principle of sof tumah latzeis no longer applies, because he's already made his decision that he's taking it through one particular Pesach, or he may have many windows, but only one of them has this shear of arba al arba, which makes it into a Pesach. Be'shamay omrim, v'hu shechishev ad shelo yomos hamis. There was a man still alive, he's about to die, and the decision was made already during his lifetime, those last few moments of his life, that the mess would be taken out through a particular Pesach. Then, matzilin al kol ha-psachim. But, say Beit Shammai by implication, if he makes that decision after the mess already died, then his machshava, his decision to take the mess out through a particular door is not relevant at all. And it cannot be mevatel the tumah of the psachim acherim. Why? Because ein brera. The moment that the person dies, we already activate the principle of sof tumah latzeis. Because at that moment, any Pesach was an equal candidate for the exit of the mess. And therefore, every single opening, every single entranceway was a suffix of sof tumah latzeis. And that brings the tumah to the kelim. What are you going to tell me that after the person dies, you're going to make a decision where you want to take out the mess? That would only be meaningful if you held yesh brera, and that's exactly Beisil Omrim, af misha yomos ha-mess. Even if after the person dies, at some moment later, posthumously, the decision was made that the mess would be taken out through a particular Pesach, then that's matzil al kol ha-psochem kulon, because yesh brera l'mafreya, which means that when he decides to take the mess out through this particular opening, then retroactively, it sets up that decision as if it was always, from the get-go, Omeid Lahutzias HaMess Mi Pesach Zer, it was going to be taken out of this Pesach, and all the other Pesachim are not included in the principle of Sof Tumah Latzeis. So we see clearly that Beit Shammai hold Ein Breira, and Beit Hillel hold Yesh Breira. And if that be the case, then we go back to our original question, and that is, why did Rabbah have to employ the aid, call on the help of a guy to carry the mayim from one bais to another? Why couldn't he make it air? A sheet of muvos. And he could have done it in a way of Brera, because we accept Beis Hillel. Yesh Brera, which means he could have said that I have this gigantic barrel of wine, and somewhere in this barrel there's a revius that's designated for the Eruv. And at the end of the year, perhaps, it may take me a year until I finally get to the end of the barrel where there's only one revius, and that's going to be L'mafreya, a birur, that the sheet of Mavos or the Erev Chatzeres was chal on that revius of Yayin. So why did they need the help of a guy? So this is the question of Tosis, Divya Maskel Tanya, which is, I think, the fourth Tosis on the page. He has a summary. He says, Yesh Lahakshos came into Vizbar v'gemar shemachloket zuim mishat mishtatvim b'otzer is Tluya Machlokas Beisil Beit Shammai, is Ladas Beisil Mishtatfim Biotzar, is Ketzad Posak Abaye, She'en Mishtatfim Biotzar, therefore they had to use the guy. Why didn't they take advantage of this opportunity of Mishtatfim Biotzar? Because B'chol Mokom, Alokha Ki Beisil, we always passing like Beisil. Is Tirtzu Bitosis, Shebemachlokas zuim yesh brero ein brero nechliku oda harbe tanoim vabai posa kedasa tanoim as sovereign di ein brero will a daitom lo nechliku bekach beisil beit shama viaf beisil sovri ein brero. So Tosa says that this issue of yesh brero ein brero was not just limited to the time period and the two greats of beisil beit shama, but rather it was an ongoing continuum of machlokas for generations upon generations, and various tanoim accepted this shita and various that shita. According to one group of tanoim, Ein Brera, and even Beis Hillel would agree that Ein Brera, they rejected this transmission that Beis Hillel maintains Yesh Brera. And therefore, Abaye would paskin Ein Brera, like those tanoim, and possibly even like Beis Hillel, if you have that tradition that Beis Hillel hold Ein Brera. And that's why the only way out to try to find a solution to the problem of getting the hot water from one bais to the other was by sending a guy to do the work for you, and that's called the Shmus Dein Bo Maisa. But the other option of setting up a barrel and later on down the line will determine which revius of Yayin upon which revius the Erev was chal, that's unacceptable because we paskin Ein Brera. So that Tosis is absolutely critical. to understand this. Another story, Ahu Yenuka, there was a child, Ishtapuch Chamime, the hot water spilled. So the water that they needed for the Mila, to wash the baby for the Mila, which they had prepared this hot water before Shabbos, is gone. Amalu Rava, so the members of the family of this child, they want to go through with the Mila, it's Mila Bizmana on the eighth day, it's on Shabbos, they said to Rava, Nishaile Leime Itzricha. Now, what we have to know is the following. That, and this is a Gemara Masechta Shabbos, that a woman after childbirth, and now we're talking on the eighth day of the baby's life, is considered a chaya, she's a yoledes who's in danger. And again, you have to, there are a lot of complicated dinim here, so I'm just going to try to give you the simplest way of understanding this. And that is that if she says that she needs hot water, then we're allowed to tell a guy to do this work, shall we say, this labor of heating up the water. And that has to do with a status in halacha called chola she'ein bo sakana. In other words, she's in the eighth day since her birth. The first 7 days, she has the status of a chola she'yesh bo sakana. Again, the various complicated nuances of dinim, to sugi in Shabbos Kuf Mem Tes. If the experts say that we need hot water for her, or if she says she needs hot water, I mean, it's also relevant to Yom Kippur and so forth. Anyway, but once we get to the eighth day, then her status changes to that, it goes down one level, to that of a chola she'ein bo sakana. So we don't believe that she'll die, chas v'shalom, if she doesn't get this hot water on Shabbos. It's the eighth day since her childbirth. However, even in the case of a chola she'ein bo sakana, amir la'akum is mutter. So Rav is going to say the following. I mean, the b'nei mishpachto shel atinok are going to say to Rav the following. Why don't we ask the mother of the baby if she needs a hot bath? And if she says yes, then we're allowed to tell a guy on Shabbos to heat up the water. And then we can take the water and use it for the mila. That's the Gemara's kasha. Nechem le'nochri agav ime. Let the guy be told to heat up the water, and he'll heat up enough water that will serve two functions, two purposes. We'll be able to bathe both the baby and the mother, and that should be mut. Now, why is it that they needed the excuse, so to speak, of the mother in order to allow telling the guy to heat up the water? Why? Let's just drop that. You know, let's just say, for the sake of the mila, we should be allowed to tell the guy to heat up the water. See, so now we get back to the old machlokas that we started with today. Some Rishonim hold that the heter to tell the guy is only in location, meaning to carry the water from place to place. And you have kind of a shvus to shvus, right? It's a mir le'nochri shvus. And what are we asking the nochri to carry it through the chotzer? That's also a shvus. And it's b'makom mitzvah. And then it's mutter. But that's only because you have hot water. You just don't know how to get it from one bais to the other. So that's shvus to shvus. But in this case, the hot water spilled. We're going to have to ask the guy to heat up water. And that's already, according to some Rishonim at least, that's a shvus b'makom, I'm sorry, that's a shvus b'kumvaseh, which we identify as a malacha d'oraisa. So if I'm telling the guy to do a malacha d'oraisa, that I can't do. But in the case of the mother, where it's not just l'tzarech mitzvah, but it's also a cholah she'ein bo sakana, then we're allowed to tell the guy. So let me just read you this footnote. He says, "Rak agav chimum amayim li'em hitiru lomar l'goy la'hosif mayim af l'tzorech rechitzas ha'tinok aval ein hete lomar l'goy l'chamim mayim l'tzorech rechitzas ha'tinok af agav de lo yuchlu l'kayim es mitzvahs bris mila shlo huter amir l'goy lasos melochad o'raisa afil l'tzorech mitzvah." And that's all according to our Girsa. And that's the riff. Now, what about according to the other Rishonim, that's the Bahag and the Rabbeinu Chananel, Mutter Loma Legoy Lasos Gamalocha Doraisa Letzorch Mitzvah, Im Kei Mutter Loma Legoy Lechami Mayim Letinok, Afil Shalo Agav Imo. Uladvarov hanidon kan hoyelahatir esachimum al yidei Yisrael. What does that mean? Oh, very beautiful. Umidubar shatinok nolad lifnei sof hayom v'yom hamila shlo adai debetoch shiva. Wow. That is sharp. Right, there's one man, the Omer, who says that the halacha of Leda, of the status of a woman as far as Chol Shabbos after birth, is Me'es La'es. Well, we don't count 7 calendar days, but rather 7 times 24. And if this baby was born on Shabbos in the afternoon, let's say, her, the mother, has a status of a chaya tok shiva. She's within her 7 days when we get to the mila on Shabbos morning, because we're holding now Me'es La'es. It's 24 times 7. And therefore, a Jew would be allowed to heat up the water for the sake of the oledes taking a hot bath if she wants a bath. Wow, that's wild. So the Gemara is saying now, let's just wait to hear from the mother that she needs a hot bath. Then we can heat up the water, and we can ask the Yisrael that when he heats up the water, make sure there's enough water there that not only could the mother take a bath, but the baby also could be bathed. Again, you don't need that much water to bathe the makom mila. Wow. That really is impressive. So the Gemara answers, Amalei Rav Mishar Shila Rava, Imei Ka Achla Tamri. The mother of this baby is eating dates. What does that mean? She's eating something that's cold. It means she doesn't need hot water to bathe. She's perfectly healthy. And there's no possibility, therefore, of heating up water on her behalf, or for that matter, telling a guy to heat up water on her behalf. Amalei, so Rabbi says to Rabbi Misharshia, the fact that she's eating dates doesn't prove anything. Emor tunva bialma hu dinokit la. She is so ill that she's like deranged. You know, she's not thinking clearly. She has no clue what she's eating. But if she says she needs hot water, then we're allowed to heat up the water, either by telling a guy to heat up the water, Or maybe a Jew could even heat up the water, depending upon the mace lays. Okay then, Rabosai, so this is where we're going to stop for today. We're up to Adaf Samaches Samad Alf Ahu Yenuka, another story about the about the water that's spilled, and that's, let's count up from the bottom of Samaches, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 lines up before the end of Samaches Omer Al. Okay then, so with that I'll wish you a very good day, and Amir Tz Hashem, we'll continue this tomorrow.